the path to defeat, fighting Satan without submitting to God. And this is a big problem today. There is this problem where, I'm just going to show you from the introduction, many people today act like they want to fight the devil's kingdom. They want to overthrow the New World Order, the Great Reset, the Luciferian Kingdom, and all these things that they want to fight against. Yet they are trying to do so without being submitted to God in the power of the flesh. They're fighting in the power of their flesh. They are fueled by anger, hate, and revenge. That is absolutely the state of many people today. They're just filled with anger, and they hate all this evil in the world, which is, of course, there is such thing as righteous indignation. And you should, you know, love good and hate evil. But this goes beyond that. Goes way beyond that to where people are consumed by anger and desire specifically for revenge in their heart. Of their own power, of their own flesh. They personally want revenge and to see that. They want to see destruction. And they think that they will feel better once they see that. But they think that they have the power to overthrow all this stuff going on. When it is 100% a spiritual evil kingdom behind everything that you see in these flesh and bone bodies and organizations and secret societies and all these things. There is a spiritual element behind that. Of course, that's why they're obsessed with the occult. That's why they're obsessed with doing things to get in touch with the spiritual realm so they can get power from that realm, because that is what is really behind the whole thing. Spiritual wickedness in high places. And so that's the situation with many people. That was also the situation with me before I was a Christian. Okay? I have a personal testimony about this. I wanted to fight all this evil with hate in my heart as fuel. Absolutely hated all this stuff going on, everything I was researching and discovering. I wanted to use death metal as a way to spread the message. That was one thing I wanted to do. I would take everything I was learning about all this evil going on in the world. I was going to put in the lyrics of the death metal songs, put out records, tour around the world, spread this message. And it's all riding on the back of pure, unbridled hate, anger, desire for revenge, violence, extremely violent music. That's what I wanted to do. And I thought this was going to be something good, actually. Something I could use that was powerful. A weapon I could use to fight evil. That's what I thought. So I know from firsthand experience. So don't tell me that people don't feel this way, because I know firsthand that they do. Okay? And you think that you are fighting for good. You think you're on the right side. You might even think that you're on God's side, when you are, in fact, deceived. This was doomed to fail and utterly, utterly unable to overcome the wiles of the devil. Wasn't able to do that. In fact, it was playing right in the devil's hands. Don't let that be you. Okay? And that's how I'm framing this whole message here. Okay? This is what I want you to understand, what I want you to see today. Please, please listen, because this might be you. That you think you are going to fight, or you are fighting the devil's kingdom and all these evil things going on in the world, but you are playing right into the devil's hands. And that's how he likes it. He likes you to be deceived. He wants you to think that you're doing the right thing, that you're using the right weapons, that you're using the right strategy, so that you spin your wheels and waste time, or things are counterproductive, or they play right into his hands. Because, you know, when I was wanting to spread all that stuff around, this message with the metal and all that stuff, you know what I was going to be spreading? More anger, more hate, more desire for revenge, violence in people's hearts and minds. Does that have anything to do with helping people make peace with God? No. Absolutely 100% would not help people make peace with God. And so if that wasn't the outcome, then it is an utter failure in the end. Because what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You think you have the power, you have the strength, you may be proud. You may be extremely stubborn, thinking you're going to beat all this stuff in your power and your strength. But you are wrong. You're dead wrong. And I'm going to show you today how wrong you are. Not with my opinion. This is not my opinion. This is from the objective standard of the Word of God, exactly what God says. Okay? This isn't a matter of personal feelings and opinion. I'm just going to tell you what God says. You either accept it or you reject it, and you stubbornly persist on the path that you're on right now. And it will absolutely fail. You will fall flat in your face. And in the end, you will be used by the devil's purposes. Not what you think that you're going to do. Okay, so let's get into this. Before you can resist the devil, you must first, James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And we can expound upon this truth throughout the rest of the message. Everybody loves talking about resisting the devil. They're going to fight the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. People love quoting that. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But right before that, why are you skipping over? It's not even in a different verse, by the way. It's in the same verse. In the same exact verse. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And you cannot, 100% cannot, resist the devil and have him flee from you without submitting to God first. And you might think that you're submitted to God, but I'm going to help you with that today to show you if you are or not. Because I'm going to show you exactly from the Word of God what submission to God actually looks like, how it is defined in the Word of God. So there's no confusion, because anybody can say, oh, yeah, I love God. I fear God. I'm on God's side, all this stuff. Right. But that's just words. That's just something that you say. What is it actually in truth? What does the Word of God say it actually looks like to be submitted to God? Well, we're going to see that exactly today. There will be no confusion about it. Okay? So, you need to submit yourself to God before you can resist the devil. You can't resist the devil if you aren't submitted to God. The opposite of submission is rebellion. When you were lost, you were in rebellion against God. That might be you right now. Proverbs 17:11. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. See, that rebellion is associated with evil, an evil man. Rebellion is associated with disobedience and resistance. When you were lost, you lived in disobedience to God. Let's look at a verse about that. Ephesians 2:2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. The spirit that now worketh in the what? Children of disobedience. The children of the devil are called children of disobedience. They are not in submission to God. They are in rebellion. When you were lost, you were submitted to the devil and resisting God as an enemy of God. Okay? You might think, oh, an enemy of God, that sounds really strong. That's strong language. Well, let's see what the Word of God actually says. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, is talking about spiritually speaking, actually. Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God, perpetual state of opposition. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Wow. The enemy of God. If you're a friend of the world, if you are of the world, if you are lost, not in submission to God, you are what? The enemy of God. And so if you're the enemy of God and you're not in submission to God, you are submitted to the devil and resisting God. That's how this works. And here's another one, Colossians 1:21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Okay? Before you make peace with God, when you're lost, you are an enemy of God. It says right there. When you get saved, you stop being an enemy of God. You know that you are not an enemy of God if you are submitted to God. Okay, that's how salvation works. When you get saved, you are no longer an enemy of God. It ends that moment that you're saved. And then after that, you are submitted to God, no longer in rebellion to Him. Psalm 66:3, say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves unto thee. Look at that. Okay, so it's talking about God, right? And then it says, it's talking about the enemies of God. And it says, through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee, unto God. And when the enemies of God submit themselves unto God, there's no longer rebellion. That's what happens at the moment of salvation, okay? So that's how you know that you are no longer an enemy of God, is when you are submitted to God. You see that? It's very simple, but it is very important. Because when we do this study about submission and what submission actually looks like, that's how you know that you're no longer an enemy of God. Because many people might claim, oh, there's no, I believe in God, I'm not an enemy of God. But in their works, they tell a different story. In their manner of life, how they act. It shows that they're practically speaking an enemy of God. But through when someone is submitted to God, we know that they are not, no longer an enemy. What does it mean to be submitted to God? First of all, submission is associated with obedience and service. Psalm 18, verse 43. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. Okay? So you see here, when it talks about submitting to God, it also talks about obeying and serving. Okay? Submission is associated with obedience and service to God. To submit is to obey and serve, to be a servant. When you're submitted to God, you are a servant of God. When you were lost, you were submitted to sin. You obeyed and served sin. John 8:34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Sin is your master, and you serve sin every day of your life. Serving sin, you are submitted to sin. When you are saved, you no longer obey and serve sin. That's what it says clearly in Romans chapter 6. Okay? Romans chapter 6 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. It's talking about, this is a terminology you would use when you're talking about a king. A king has dominion over a specific area, over a kingdom, over a people, right? And so it's talking about sin as if it were a king or a master, right? For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were, past tense, the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Okay, so you see that term, servant, over and over again. Whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death. So, when you're saved, you no longer obey and serve sin. You're no longer the servant of sin. That's what it says clearly in Romans chapter 6. And as a saved person, you are no longer the servant of sin, but are become the servant of God. A servant is in submission to their master. Submission means that you obey and serve. But what does that look like? That's what we're going to expound today. What does submission to God actually look like? How is it defined? And I'm going to get into those different ways right now. Submission to God is described as this in the Bible. All these different ways. Number one, yielding. As we just read above in Romans chapter 6. Look at the term used here. Romans chapter 6 verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. So see how many times the word yield is used. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And then verse 19. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. So we see that word yield used over and over again. Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but instead yield yourselves unto God. Yield yourself to righteousness, service to righteousness. But what does it mean to yield? Yield means to surrender, to give up the contest, to comply with, to give away, to give way, not to oppose, to submit. So we see there, right away, there's the association with submission, right? To submit. But to yield means to surrender, first of all. And that's absolutely what happens at the moment of salvation. You are in rebellion against God. You are the enemy of God when you're lost. And then when you get saved, you surrender to God. You put up the white flag of surrender and say, God, I don't want to oppose you anymore. I don't want to be in rebellion against you anymore. I don't want to be your enemy. I want to make peace with you. I want to be reconciled to you. And you surrender. You give up the contest, the opposition to God. You know, when there's yield signs on the road, it means you're letting another car go in front of you. You're yielding to them, letting them go. And so when you yield yourself to God, you're being flexible and you're yielding to what God wants you to do instead of doing what you want to do. The opposite of yielding is to be stiff-necked and stubborn. Let's look at it. 2 Chronicles 30:8. Now, be ye not stiff-necked, as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. Okay? So, that's one of the great ways to understand a term, is to see it contrasted with another word. So, we have here, stiff-necked is contrasted with yield. Okay, so the opposite of yielding is to be stiff-necked. You know, think about you stiffen up your neck, you tighten up your shoulders. You don't want to do something. Being stubborn. That is not yielding. That is the opposite of yielding. And see how it says yield, and then it says also serve the Lord. Again, that word serve or servant is associated with yielding and submission. Okay, so if you are stubborn when it comes to, you know, God's will, the Word of God, not wanting to do what the Word of God says, that is a sign that you are not submitted to God. To yield is to be flexible to God's will. Okay? That's what it means. You are supposed to be flexible to what God wants you to do, His will for your life. You're going to yield to that, no matter what it is. You're gonna yield to that and do what God wants you to do. Not going to be stubborn and saying, well, I'm going to do whatever I want to do, and that's it. That's stubborn. Now, another thing to say about this is, but be stiff-necked and resist the flesh, the devil, and the world's will, right? So it is good to be stiff-necked when it comes to what your flesh wants you to do, what the devil wants you to do, what the world system wants you to do, their will. You don't want to yield to that. You don't want to be flexible to that. You want to be stiff-necked against that. You say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do what you want me to do, because that is in opposition to the will of God as revealed in the Word of God. Okay, so that's yielding. To yield is part of submission to God. See the next one, being still. Number two, being still. Let's see a verse about that. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Being still, what does that mean? Well, being still does not mean being apathetic, indifferent, or inactive. Some people might think that, right? Oh, be still. Know that I'm God. Oh, I'm just going to sit around and do nothing. Well, be still and don't move. Don't do anything. No, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean be apathetic and indifferent. Being still is the opposite of the fretting of the mind. I'm going to show you some stuff about that. There are warnings in the Word of God against fretting about the prosperity of others and your own trials. Let's look at it. From Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And if you jump down to verse 7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Okay, so we see this repeated over and over again, to not fret yourself because of evildoers, what they're getting away with, they're doing, you know, thinking about, that's one of the biggest things that we're talking about in the beginning of this message, is that people are fretting themselves so much because of evildoers. Because they're getting away, it looks like they're getting away with all the evil that they're doing. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Because the wicked are prospering, evil men are getting, you know, making a lot of money, getting away with a lot of evil things. They're not receiving justice right now, it seems like. But the Bible says, no, don't fret yourself because of the evildoers and what they have and what they're getting away with. And what does fret mean? Fret means to wear away, agitation of mind, to irritate, to gnaw. And you might think about that like the phrase when people say something's eating away at me, right? That's what it means to fret. Feels like something's eating away at you, gnawing at you, wearing you away, wearing you down. Constantly sitting in a mindset of agitation. That's how you feel all the time, because you're fretting yourself all the time because of the evildoers in the world. Well, that's not good. And the Bible says you should not be fretting about that. That is not being still and knowing that God is in control. To be still is to know God's will is being done regardless of what you see in your circumstances or the circumstances of others. And so you do not fret. You're not agitated about what's going on. And so, again, this doesn't mean don't do anything. I'm not saying that. Never would say that. But you have to have the right mindset. And most important thing is you have to be submitted to God first before you take any action. Part of being submitted to God is being still and knowing that God's will is going to be done. And that there are a lot of things outside of your control. That's a huge part of this. There are so many things outside of your control that are going to happen in the world, that evil men are going to do evil things and that they're going to get away with it. And you just simply, it's impossible for you to go around and stop it all and hold everyone accountable. And they're all just going to be judged and brought to justice and all this stuff. It's just not going to happen. And you have to understand that you've got to give a lot of this up unto God. And I know it's not easy. Not saying it's easy, but this is what God says you must do. Or else, you know what's going to happen? You are going to be worn away. It's going to eat away at you and gnaw at you till there's nothing left of you. And you can't, you have no peace. You're constantly irritated because you don't have peace. You cannot be still and know that God is in control. That's why you're constantly irritated and agitated and on edge, because, this is a sign that you're not submitted to God. You don't know how to be still and know that God is on the throne. And you can, again, you can take action and be still at the same time. Okay? Because God tells you, first of all, you got to have your priorities straight. You got to make sure, first of all, that you're saved. But also that you're praying. You got to put God first. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. You got to be praying to God, reading the Word of God. You should be given the gospel. You should be a witness to people. That should be the first and highest priority. Doing good things. Be zealous of good works. And then if there's anything you could do, also you're supposed to be reproving the unfruitful works of darkness. Absolutely. You should do what you can to do that. But that's not to the exclusion of all those other things I just mentioned. And being still in submission to God. You can't just say, well, I'm just going to fight evil and I'm going to fight the devil and that's the only thing I'm going to do. No, now you're neglecting everything else because you're not in submission to God. You're not putting any value on the submission to God. God says you're going to fail. You're going to fall flat on your face. Because Jesus Christ said, for without me, ye can do nothing. And so, you want to call Jesus a liar? And you think, well, I can do it without him. Go ahead and see what happens. Okay, so you got to be still. That's part of submission to God. Number three, holding your peace. Holding your peace does not mean there is nothing to say when afflictions happen. It means not murmuring and complaining against God. Let's look at some examples. First, we're going to look at Aaron. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Okay, so think about this. Aaron's two sons were killed by God. He knew that they had sinned, and this was the righteous judgment of God. So he held his peace. He was in submission to God. That's what it showed. Okay? His sons did something extremely rebellious. They were not supposed to offer this strange fire. They had no right. They were trespassing into something they had no right to be doing. No authority. And yet they still did it. They didn't have the fear of God. They certainly weren't submitted to God. And so Aaron knew that they had done wrong. It was a very wicked thing they did. And he knew they had suffered, that the judgment that they suffered was righteous from God. But obviously it was still very hard to deal with. It would have been very hard to lose his sons. But it says Aaron held his peace. Think about the submission to God that he had to have had to hold his peace. And not, he didn't run or start cursing God, flipping out in anger, murmuring and complaining against God. He didn't do any of that. And this shows you what submission to God looks like in practice. Because again, just to remind you, anyone can say, I believe in God. I'm on God's side. I follow God. They can even say, I'm submitted to God. I am a servant of God. Anyone can say that. But how does it look? What does it look like in practice? I'm showing you. So there's no confusion. This is an example. Let's look at another one. Look at Job. Job 1:20. This is after God had allowed Satan to kill all of Job's children, his animals. He suffered great loss. What does it say happened? Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and worshipped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What does it say? In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job did not sin with his mouth against God and start cursing God. No, Job's wife said, curse God and die. And Job said, you speak as one of the foolish women. Don't talk like that. But he wouldn't curse God. Job lost everything. But because he was submitted to God, he did not curse and murmur against God. That is an example of submission. His behavior. In how he responded to the extreme trial, fiery trial, and the loss that he suffered, how he responded was an expression of submission to God, showing that he was submitted to God before and after the trial. It just, and in fact, the trial reveals if someone is submitted to God. It can bring it out. What is hidden within their heart can be brought to the surface for everyone to see. Just need to put a little pressure on that person. Anyone can be a warrior of God when everything's going right. Sitting on the couch doing nothing, warrior for God. Got all the money and everything you need, warrior for God. Everything goes right in life. No problems. Oh, I'm a warrior for God. I'm serving God. I'm in submission to God. But the moment that something goes wrong, here comes the trials. Here comes the pressure. Here comes suffering, loss. They get squeezed a little bit. Then you'll see what the truth is. Are they truly submitted to God, or was it all a farce? It's only surface level. It's shallow. It's not real. It's a profession of the mouth, but it doesn't exist in the heart. The trial will reveal it. The trial of fire always reveals the truth. Whether it's wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, precious stones. To burn off the dross and purify the silver. The trial will reveal it. Because our God is a consuming fire. But his fire of his trials never consumes his children. Only consumes the dross. only purifies them, makes them stronger. That's why Job said, I know when he hath tried me, I shall be as gold. When he comes out the other side of that trial, he knows his faith is going to be stronger. That's what a true child of God, that's in submission to God, knows. And that's what happens to them in practice. But the fakes, the hypocrites, the trial eats them up. They respond in anger, in rebellion, in murmuring, in complaining. All of a sudden, they don't want to follow God anymore. Oh, how could this happen to me? As if they deserve anything more than that. You know what the Bible says? We don't deserve the least of God's mercies. None of us do. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We deserve nothing except hell. We are a worm in the sight of God. That's what the Bible says. How do we dare think we deserve anything else except hell? And so guess what? Anything that happens to us in this life, any trial that happens, any tribulation and affliction is always less than we deserve. Always less. And if we're submitted to God, we will say, the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord, because we're submitted to God. That's how we respond to the trials. Okay, so that's holding your peace in the face of trials. Holding your peace is to refrain from murmuring and complaining against God, regardless of your tribulations, because you are submitted to God. That's what's going to happen. Number four, humbling yourself. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. For God resisteth the proud. There's that word resist. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. When you are lost, you have pride and resist God. If you resist God, he will resist you. See that? It says God resists the proud. He will fight against you if you are proud. When you are saved, you have been humbled, and your submission to God will show itself in continued humility. It's not just, oh, I humbled myself one time before God, and then now I'm proud. No, you humbled yourself before God, and you are continuously humble. You know, obviously you're not perfect, but you grow in humility. It's a consistent pattern. You're not walking around proud and arrogant. Not the character of someone that's submitted to God. Okay? God resists the proud. Let's look at a parable that Jesus told about this. Luke chapter 14, verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee come and say unto thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Okay? So, if you exalt yourself, God will abase you. He will abase you, cut you down to size, and if you truly don't get that justice in this life, then it's going to happen in eternity, and you're not going to want that. But those But if this ever happens with some, to someone that's saved and they start exalting themselves, God will abase them. He'll humble them. It's not going to last long because the Bible says that he will chasten his children. We'll talk about that in a second. But then what does it say? He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Humbling, by the way, this shows that humbling is a choice. He that humbleth himself. You want to continue on in pride or choose to humble yourself? Which means you're not going to exalt yourself. That's what Jesus said. If you are submitted to God, you are not going to be exalting yourself and be puffed up with pride and arrogance. If you are a child of God and you get puffed up, God will abase you with his chastening rod. And let's look at that. Chastening is what God uses you to bring you back into submission when you go astray. Chastening is discipline. Okay? Discipline is correction. Okay? So that's what God uses you to bring you back into submission when you go astray. If you are a saved person. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And I'm just going to define that word real quick. Subjection means the state of being under the power, control, and government of another. This is, you know, submission, a.k.a. submission. Okay, shall we not much rather be in subjection, submission unto the Father of spirits, unto God? Okay, now when we're talking about this chastening, it says that, first of all, God only corrects those that are his children. People that are saved, they have repented of a life of sin and rebellion against God, and they put their faith in Jesus Christ. They are saved by Jesus Christ. They are born again. Okay? And that means that they became sons of God. They became children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. They will be chastened when they sin and they do wrong, they go astray. But if it says if you're without chastisement, then are you bastards, meaning you are illegitimate children. You are not children of God. If you are not chastened and corrected by God, if you're not convicted when you sin, when you go astray, you're not a child of God. But here, when it's talking about this chastening and correction, when you get out of line, and we're talking about exalting yourself, being proud, it says, do not despise the chastening. God, if God whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He's going to correct them. And if you are getting out of line, exalting yourself with pride, God is going to correct you. He's going to humble you. That's how it works. And at the end, most important thing is, shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father? So what that means is the proper response to chastening is subjection, submitting to God. If you are in submission to God, you will be humble. You will not be puffed up with pride. And if you get proud, you will be abased and chastened. When you are chastened of God, you will not respond. I'm sorry. You will respond with repentance and not stiff-necked rebellion. That's how you respond. You're chastened by God, you're going to respond with repentance. You say, I'm sorry, God, for doing that. I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me. Help me not to do that anymore. By the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, cleanse me with the blood of Jesus Christ from all my sin. Help me to get back in the right path. Not going to be stiff-necked in rebellion. Saying, oh, I'm just going to continue to do what I'm doing. And I'm going to be proud. No. You will be humble. Okay? So if you're submitted to God, you will be humble, not proud. Okay? Number 5, denying yourself and dying to self. Tied together with submission to God. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? To simplify and summarize self-denial in relation to submission to God, I'll say this. If you are submitted to God, nothing will stand in your way of obeying God. Not your friends, family, job, money, opportunities, your flesh, even your own life, if necessary. Nothing will stand in your way of obeying God, doing what God wants you to do. If you are submitted to God, that is the attitude that you will have, and that is an attitude of self-denial. That is what Jesus said. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. What you want. You cannot be selfish and a follower of Jesus Christ. He says you must deny yourself what you ultimately want. Instead, you are submitted to God and say, God, I want to do whatever you want me to do, and nothing or no one will get in the middle of that and in the way and say, you know, you need to choose one. If you, and let's learn a little bit more about what this means, because I don't want you to get the wrong idea. If you deny yourself, you will not love anything or anyone more than God. Matthew 10:37 says this, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Okay? Now, this does not mean do not love your father and mother, do not love your son or daughter. The Bible tells you to, right? It's even the Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother. It's talking about children, obey your parents. And everyone's supposed to love each other, right? And you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. So, I'm not saying don't love these people. Love your family. It's saying, Jesus said, he that loves anyone more than me is not worthy of me. And how does that work? Well, if let's say you become a Christian and someone says, I don't like that. I don't like your beliefs and you need to get rid of these beliefs if you want to see me still. You want to be around me. You want to have a relationship with me. Well, then now they're forcing you to make a choice, either them or Jesus Christ. Jesus said, nope, you can't be my disciple. You can't be my servant if you love someone else more than me and you just say, well, okay, fine, then I'll do what they want me to do instead of doing what Christ wants me to do, instead of doing what the Word of God says. No, 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 that's not what a Christian does. That's not someone who is submitted to God. Absolutely not. And so no one, not even your own family, can come between you and God. And don't ever let anyone make you choose between them and God. It's going to be God every time. Sorry. I know that's tough. I know it can be emotional. But we're talking about the things of eternity. We're talking about God here. Eternal things. Not temporary, fleshly, earthly things. This is very important. And no matter how much someone proclaims that they love you, it's not true love if you're going to follow them straight to hell. Well, that's not love, is it? In the end, if you end up in hell. That's not true love, is it? So, you cannot love anyone or anything more than God. That's part of self-denial, which is an expression of submission to God. Self-denial is described as death, actually, which is why Jesus talks about taking up your cross. That's an instrument of death, right? Someone's crucified on a cross, put to death. You have to be diligent with self-denial, which is why Paul said he dies every day. 1 Corinthians 15:31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily, every day. Wake up saying I'm dead to the flesh, to the world, to the devil. I'm dead to it, and it's dead to me. That's what you should be saying every single day, because you have to. The battle never ends. The war never ends. If the Bible says abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. You don't have a choice to be in a war with the flesh. That flesh is making war against you every day. And so you have to die to it. And you say, mortify the deeds of the body through the Spirit. Walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. How many times does it talk about being dead, when you're saved? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay? Song about the old you is dead, the new you is resurrected, living according to submission to God. Talks about being crucified to the world. And the world crucified unto you. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Again, that's the cross talking about being dead to the world, and the world is dead to you. But this is part of the submission to God, where you're dead to everything else except the will of God. Even your own self, self-denial. When you are submitted to God, you may have wants and desires, but you will always obey God no matter what in the end. One example of this is in Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast at the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship this golden image which thou hast set up. And so you know what they said? The servants of God that were in total submission to God. They said, we know that God has the power to deliver us from this furnace. We know that he can do that. But we don't know if he's going to or not. He might allow us to be burned in that furnace. And that's fine. No matter what, we will not serve your gods. We will not worship the false gods and the image that you set up. That's submission to God. That is self-denial, which is submission to God. They had totally denied their desires. Of course, their first desire is going to be not to want to be burned in the fiery furnace. Of course. And so they're like, yeah, we know God has the power to do that, and that's what we would like to do. But we would rather burn then worship your false gods. Wow. Yes, that's what submission to God actually looks like in practice. Self-denial, even to the point of death. That is the real power of God. When someone is changed by God, when they are a child of God, that is how powerful it is. The submission to God will even go all the way to a fiery furnace, saying, I don't care if we get thrown in there, we're not going to bow. Okay? That's what it looks like. Self-denial from submission to God. The greatest example of this self-denial in submission to God is Jesus Christ. He gave us the great example that there is. Matthew 26:38. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. That is the example they gave us. No one can compare to this. We have no idea what this was like. In this garden of Gethsemane, Jesus sweating drops of blood because he was being squeezed in the winepress of the wrath of God. He was feeling the weight of the world's sin on his shoulders, and he was about to experience the absolute punishment of God for our sins. We cannot imagine what that would have been like. And so he said, if it be possible, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Because that's how extreme it felt in that moment. But he says, nevertheless, not as I will. That's self-denial. That's self-denial. Saying, no, it doesn't matter how I feel, how my body feels, how I feel emotionally, and what I desire. At the end of the day, not my will, but as thou wilt. That's submission to God. That is the greatest example we have been given. Jesus Christ gave that to us. And it is directly opposed to the satanic philosophy of do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law, as spoken by Aleister Crowley. And the satanic will to power of Friedrich Nietzsche. It's the same thing. Thelema is Greek word for will. That is taking your will and imposing it on the world no matter what stands in your way, and without any regard for what the will of God is. That is the essence of Satanism. Whether you call yourself that or not does not matter. That's what it is. You're saying, I will do my will no matter what. And so, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, not my will be done, but thy will be done. And the satanic prayer is, not thy will be done, but my will be done. Because they're not submitted to God, and they don't want to be. They want to impose their own will in selfishness. And that is the road to hell. But we see here another expression of a submission to God, self-denial, very clearly. And number six, the last point, fearing God, expression of submission to God. Hebrews 12:28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And here's another one, Malachi 1:6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? So, we learned before that to be in submission is to be a servant. Here we have verses that say we should serve God with fear, right? So, if we're submitted to God, we are a servant of God. But you can see here, plain as day, in Malachi, it says, God says, if I be a master, where is my fear? Because if someone is your master, God is your master, you are a servant of God. And along with that service, it says, where is my fear? There should be fear of God mingled with that service. And then in Hebrews 12, it said that we may serve God with reverence and godly fear at the same time. Because we're in submission to God, we should have that fear of God. Okay? And of course, Jesus Christ said he is master. He said, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. He said, call no man master on earth, for there is one master, even Christ. He said, I am master. And so again, there's the fear of God for Jesus Christ as well. And how do we serve with godly fear? Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Okay? So, because anyone can say, yeah, I fear God, I'm a God-fearing man, all that stuff, right? But it says the fear of the Lord will hate evil, pride, will hate pride, arrogance, the froward mouth. Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. That's one of the biggest ones. Someone can claim to fear God, but it says here, if someone fears God, they're going to depart from evil, from wickedness, from sin, from rebellion. Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So what's associated with fearing God? Keeping his commandments. And you know what Jesus said? If you love me, keep my commandments. Fear God, love God, but the expression that you fear God, that you love God, that you submit to God, is keeping his commandments. You're showing that it's something that you already have in your heart. You're not doing commandments to earn salvation. You're just expressing thankfulness, fear of God, love of God in your actions, in practice. Revelation 14:6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come. Okay? So if you fear God, you're going to give glory to him. You're going to see him as the just judge. And you are going to worship him as the creator. You're going to give him that credit. That shows that you fear God. Now, to serve God with godly fear is to hate evil, depart from evil, keep God's commandments, and give God glory in all things. This shows you are submitted to God. That's how you know that you have that godly fear. You're going to do all those things. Not just say you fear God. This is what it looks like in practice. And of course, and again, this fear of God is a sign that you are submitted to God. If you don't fear God, you don't hate evil. You don't depart from evil. You don't keep God's commandments. You don't give God glory in all things. It's a sign you don't fear God, which means a sign that you don't, that you're not submitted to God. Another one. That's what it looks like in practice. To reiterate the first point, let's get back to that. You cannot resist the devil if you are not in submission to God. Focus on submitting to God before fighting the devil. Don't just run out there all willy-nilly thinking you're going to conquer the devil's kingdom, you're going to defeat all this stuff. You are delusional. You know what the Bible says about Jesus Christ and save people? You know what it says? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's a great statement there. And what does that mean? Greater is he that is in you. That's Jesus Christ, who is in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you're saved, you're born again. Christ is in you. And it says, greater than he that is in the world. Who's that? That's the devil. Okay. So greater is Jesus Christ in you, the saved person, than the devil. And you will overcome him, right? It doesn't say greater is the human being than the devil. The man will have victory over the devil if he fights with all his might and his willpower and his strength and anger and revenge, and he's going to defeat the devil. It doesn't say anything about that because it's not true. It is a lie, and if you think that, you're deluded, you're deceived, you're proud, you are stubborn, you are not listening to the truth. And you will fail. And you are being used by the devil while you think you're fighting him. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, the faith in Jesus Christ. They overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. That's how you overcome the devil. Not through your own strength and power and revenge. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Not you. Vengeance does not belong to you. No matter how much you desperately want it to be, it does not belong to you. And so when you try to take something into your own hands that doesn't belong to you, you think God is going to take that lightly? You think God approves of that? Absolutely not. And therefore, you're not on God's side, and he will not have the grace of God and the power of God on your side. You will not. And you will never win any victories over the devil without the power of God. Don't ever forget it. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. To summarize, submission to God is described as yielding, being still, holding your peace, humbling yourself, denying yourself and dying to self, fearing God. And those who are not submitted to God are not yielding to God. They're not being still. They're not holding their peace in trials. They're not humbling themselves. They're proud. They're not denying themselves. They're opposing their own will in the world, and they don't fear God. They're in rebellion against God. And that about sums it up. That's the end of the message. Thank you for listening and watching. Please like, share, and subscribe. Especially go to the description and subscribe to the Telegram feed where you're going to get all the PDFs of the notes, all the updates and uncensored news and other things like that. Thank you for all the support, all the kind comments and prayers and gifts and everything else. God bless you. Have a good day.